The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of the program here on Friday morning. The last Friday of 2024, as Christina was telling us. And that means that you've got the final few days here to wrap up anything that you might have said that you wanted to do in 2024. So get it done or else you'll just have to punt it to next year, right? And by the way, the Edaville special is still going on. They sold out of all, well, I shouldn't say sold out because they were giving them away, but they gave away all of the bronze tickets for the remainder of the season. But they still have the sale ongoing where you can get half price silver and gold tickets. So if you want to go to Edaville and experience everything that you can do there, ride all the rides, take the train ride, all of that, you can do that right now for $22.95. But you got to go to Edaville.com to get your tickets. You can't buy them at the gate. You got to go to Edaville.com and buy them in advance. And I'm going to Plymouth on Sunday afternoon. I'm considering maybe shooting on over to Edaville afterwards because I just haven't had a chance to get over there. But if not, you know, there's Monday next week and maybe even New Year's Eve. Maybe even New Year's Eve I'll go there for a little while. I can get home before things get too crazy out on the roads. Because I mean, what are your New Year's Eve plans? What do you do? Do you stay home? Do you go out? Do you like to meet up with friends? Do you like to spend it with your family? For me, I spent enough years with my own, you know, my brothers and sisters growing up. We would go to Boston. We would go to the Ground Round in the Prudential Building and have dinner because we all liked the Ground Round and we knew it was a place we could all go and have something that we liked. And so we'd all, you know, because it's a holiday, we'd all get Shirley Temples to drink and, you know, do it up fancy. And then we would walk from the Prudential Center over to the aquarium to watch the fireworks. And it was always a fun night, but I also kind of had my fill of New Year's Eve and people. Like, you would never get me down to Times Square on New Year's Eve. Just too much people. Not enough going on that I'd want to go down there. Like if they said the Beatles were reuniting, George Harrison and John Lennon come back from the dead, the Beatles were reuniting and they were headlining in Times Square on New Year's Eve with Elvis Presley as the opening act, I still would be like, yeah, but it's going to be a lot of people around. So to me, I don't think that would ever be a draw. So I don't need to run out and do all the first night activities anymore. I'm happy to just stay home and have some snacks, maybe have a few drinks, watch a marathon of whatever's on TV, which I guess is just the Twilight Zone now, right? Unless I make my own Three Stooges marathon, which is, as I've been mentioning, for those of you who want a Three Stooges marathon on New Year's Eve, TV 38 will not be running it. However, you can create your own because there is the Three Stooges Plus channel on YouTube and Roku and all the different streaming services. It's free and it has every Stooges short, every Stooges movie, every Stooges cartoon that ever existed. I don't know if it has the movie that they made a few years ago, the Farrelly Brothers movie, where they had different actors playing the Stooges. I don't think it has that. But it has everything that the original Stooges did. And by original, I guess I'm also including Joe Besser and Curly Joe Derita in that. But all of that material is on the Three Stooges Plus channel. You can just create your own. You can watch them in chronological order. You can watch them in the order of most popular. And you're going to get a better marathon out of it that way than you would when TV 38 was programming it, because they only had so many in their syndication package. And also they knew that there were ones that people wanted to see. So they would just run the same one. Same thing with Twilight Zone Marathon. There's so many more episodes than what they're going to run, but they run the most popular ones. And they run the most popular ones at the closest times to midnight. You know, from 8 o'clock to midnight, you're going to get like Eye of the Beholder and To Serve Man and things like that. So you can kind of create and cater and customize your own marathon with these through streaming services. And I think the idea of a marathon is kind of lost on people now anyway, because we have everything available to us on demand and instantaneously, and we can stream it and binge it and do all of that. So it's less of a gathering point for people to say, oh, let's get together and watch Three Stooges Marathon. Like, you can do that anytime. But I always liked on New Year's Eve to be able to just kind of turn my brain off, relax. I'm going to have to clean out the freezer over the next couple of days to make room for all the stuff I'll get to throw in the air fryer. And then I won't eat any of it because it'll be a Tuesday and it's only a couple of days removed from my weight loss shot, so I won't be hungry, but, you know, I'll get some snacky foods anyway and eat them over the next couple of days. But, and then that's how I'll celebrate New Year's Eve. Maybe you want to do it up with drinks and dinner and dancing and reveling. Maybe you want to go downtown and see the fireworks and all of the things that are going to be going on. I'm a stay home kind of guy, but I'm kind of a stay home kind of guy every day. The risky point, I would say, if you are going to go out and you're worried, I would say, you know, usually if you're at least in my experiences, even if you're leaving wherever you are at midnight and going home, you know, you're usually okay. It's the later hours where things get really, really dangerous. But traveling home on New Year's Eve, I've done it before at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. No issues. The Celtics used to, well, I don't know if they do this year. I didn't look at the schedule, but the Celtics would have a New Year's Eve game that was in the afternoon. And I would always just go cover that because it was one of the few days that I would be able to go cover it. And I would drive up to Boston and come home and stop at the supermarket and bring some snacks home for my then wife and son. And we would have, you know, a little party from like 8 to 10 when he would fall asleep. And by 11, we'd probably be asleep. But I was home at a safe time. Never had an issue. But, you know, the more you stay out after midnight and the later you stay at the party, the later you stay at the bar, the later you stay at the restaurant, the more you run the risk of there being some dangerous drivers out there. And it's not you, I know. It's the other people that you've got to worry about. And by the way, if you're going to Boston for Boston's festivities, There's a story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We love to bring to you little things that you might not have known. And sometimes people do know them and they'll respond back with, duh, everybody knows that. But, you know, not everybody does. And certainly I didn't know this thing. If you remember a few months ago, we told you about why the MBTA subway lines have the colors that they do. There's actually a meaning behind those colors. You know, part the green line is because it goes around the Emerald Necklace with all the parks. The red line is because it went to Harvard, home of the Crimson. You know, so the blue line, because it goes along the waterfront. So there's all these reasons behind those. But one thing you might not realize is when you go through the tunnels, the Tip O'Neill Tunnel, the Ted Williams Tunnel, the Callahan, the Sumner, you might see the colors changing on the stripes that are painted on the walls. So as you're driving down the tunnel, and you might not have noticed this if you're the driver, but certainly if you're the passenger, you say, wow, how come some of these are brown and how come some of these are blue? What does that mean? And it's really obvious, but you might not have known. If you're in the tunnel and you see the brown stripes on the brick walls, that means that you are surrounded by dirt. And if you see the blue stripes on the wall, you're surrounded by water. So you're going underwater, you'll have the blue stripes. And when you're underground, you'll have the brown stripes. I had no idea. And if I'd thought about it, I probably would have figured it out, but I never thought about it. So those are the dumb little things we like to bring to you. And you can read more about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app and see a video that explains what I'm talking about. But I love those little things like that. And one of the most fascinating episodes I ever watched of one of my favorite shows, American Experience on PBS, which is just a great series. If you've never seen it, it's usually an hour, sometimes 2 hour documentaries about different points in American history. And they try to be objective in the coverage and cover it from all angles. And it's, you know, PBS, so it's well produced. And certainly I find some of the earlier episodes were more interesting. Now, I don't know that it's just the topics or I don't know, but I haven't watched as many of the newer ones. Sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I'm not interested in that one. I'm going to skip it. But one of the best ones that I ever saw was the episode about the building of Boston's subway system and just how insane people thought that it was to try to build this underground transportation system. And it's even more fascinating when you realize how many subway lines there are underground. Like old stations that nobody accesses anymore. Old lines that sometimes are below the ones that we currently use and sometimes are on top of the ones that we currently use. I mean, I would love to just get the chance to go to New York City and go to all the abandoned subway stations and rail lines that they've had over the years. But Boston was the first, and Boston was the one where they were like, is this going to work? And you get to see these photographs of them tearing up the city to install the, and people are like, why are we losing our roads for them to build something that nobody's ever going to use? And now look, you know, 150 years later, we're getting South Coast Rail in 2025. I know some of you still don't want to believe it, but it's true. It's coming. We're going to have rail service on the South Coast again in just a few short months. Within the next 6 months, because what they say, it'll be sometime in May. So within the next 6 months, we will have rail service to Boston from New Bedford, from Fall River. And I'm not planning on using it on a daily basis, but I'll utilize it. It'd be great for a thing like, you know, First Night Boston, for those who want to go to Boston for first night instead of staying here locally. I don't know that they'll have the train running that long, but, you know, hopefully this eventually gets to the point where we can have other service, you know, so you can be able to take the train from New Bedford to a Patriots game in Foxborough. That eventually you can take the train. I mean, I guess, you know, they haven't connected North and South stations yet, but eventually, you can get to a Celtics game, a Bruins game. It just depends on if the timing works out that you can get a train back. But imagine being able to go out into Western Mass on the train. So I think that it's a good first step. But I also don't think that people would have thought when they were building that subway system in Boston that it would take all this time for it to extend out to other places. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails available on the WBSM app. It's talking about the Beatles before and N.A. and Acushnet. I don't know if they're not available or not applicable. I don't know which one that applies to, but... Tim, I saw the Beatles August 18th, 1966 at Suffolk Downs Racetrack. I still have the ticket stub. The price was $5.75. Can you believe it? I cannot believe it. Well, I can, because I know that they were a lot cheaper to go to concerts back then. But I'm in awe of the fact that you got to see the Beatles live. And in 1966, when, you know, I know... The great documentary that just came out on Disney Plus shows what it was like when the Beatles first came to America and shows what it was like when Beatlemania first hit in 1964. But by 1966, they were already better musicians and they were already... you know, on their way to being the greatest of all time. And so I can imagine that the show in 66 was just a better show than it would have been in 64. Plus, they had a bigger catalog of stuff. I was reading an article yesterday written by former Boston Herald writer Kerry Byrne about Gene Shepherd. Gene Shepherd, of course, is the narrator of the film A Christmas Story and the person who wrote the book on which the movie was based. But he was also, for those who don't know, he was a radio host. He was actually what they considered a shock jock back in the day. But he kind of gained notoriety and national fame for these folksy stories he would tell on the radio. One of which became A Christmas Story. And so he actually spent time with the Beatles, covering the Beatles and writing about their journeys across America. And he was of the opinion that the Beatles were not especially talented. And this was an opinion he held even after the Beatles broke up into the 70s and into the 80s. He felt like the Beatles weren't especially talented, that they were just the creation of the true genius behind it, Brian Epstein. And that Brian Epstein could have taken any four guys and plugged them into the Beatles and turned them into the Beatles. I don't think that that's true. But that was Gene Shepherd's take. There is something to be said for the fact that, you know, none of the Beatles achieved the heights of the Beatles on their own. But you can't be dismissive of them as a collective because the individual never reached the same heights. Because, first of all, how could you? But secondly, we know that there's just sometimes magic in that group of people coming together. There was an alchemy to the Beatles that didn't exist when they were individual artists. Still great, but obviously not the same as when they came together. No pun intended. 508-996-0500. Let's take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments. No direction. All alone. I sent home by the phone. I'm waiting for you. Baby. Baby. Through the years, I can't just stand the year. My place in for you, you know I'm crying. And I know I've said this before, but if you remember, you know, back in those days when Paul McCartney had that song on his album and Michael Jackson had The Girl Is Mine with Paul McCartney on his album. You know, they kind of worked that out. Each one of them got a song on their album. And I think Paul McCartney made out better because that's a much better song than The Girl Is Mine. I've never been a big fan of The Girl Is Mine. It's good, but it's not say. Anyway, 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and chime in. App chat is open on the WBSM app. And next week, as I've been mentioning, we will be here on New Year's Eve. We will have regular programming for you all day. And then on New Year's Day, we're going to have the day off for everybody. So we'll have syndicated network programming. So we will have our regular, you know, the Mike Gallagher and Hugh Hewitt and all the stuff that you normally hear when we carry syndication through the course of the day. And then we'll be back with you on January 2nd, ready for a brand new year of great local talk. And how much fun was it yesterday hearing Chris McCarthy and Marcus Farrow back together again? If you missed it, you can catch it on the South Coast Now podcast, which you can get from WBSM.com, the WBSM app, or wherever you get your podcast from. But they had a great conversation about a lot of different things, including getting Marcus's take on everything that happened with the election and since then. Then they talked about local issues as well, including the possibility, although she denies it, the possibility of Andrea Campbell running for Bill Keating's seat and so much more. So if you haven't heard it already, you can get it from wherever you get the WBSM podcast from, whether it's the website, whether it's the app, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, any of those places. And I'm working on also getting the Spooky South Coast podcasts on there, but I, as I've said in the past, I don't know that it'll be all the old episodes will be available because that's a lot to upload. So the episode that we just aired was like, I don't know, 600 and something, but it's actually those numbers are wrong. It's actually more than that. So you know, getting them all in there and getting them uploaded would probably take forever, but we might just start with, you know, the new ones when we come back. And I think, you know, nowadays that's how a lot of people listen, especially this week when people are on vacation. You know, they want to hear when it works for them. Earlier, we also talked about the fact that the couple that were killed in the Christmas Day fire in Acushnet have been identified. So the fire took place at 34 Garfield Street just before 2 a.m. And firefighters arrived to find heavy smoke and flames coming from the home and learned that three people were unaccounted for. One was able to escape the fire after a neighbor saw the flames and alerted the resident to the fire by banging on his door. However, when firefighters were able to finally make entry into the home, they located two residents deceased inside, and they have been identified as 89-year-old Leo Leonese and 87-year-old Annette Leonese. And I know ABC6 has been having a story with their son talking about his parents. But they think the cause of the fire is related to either a wood stove or a wall outlet with a multi-prong adapter They were both found in the area of where the fire originated. So when there's more of a determination there, the state fire marshal's office will give us those details and we'll pass them on to you. Let's take a phone call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. I have a Beatle memory for you, a personal one. I remember, it was 1964, all huddled around the TV watching the Ed Sullivan Show. And my brother was a local musician, so he had a reel-to-reel hooked up to the TV, and he was able to record it right off the TV back then. But don't know where those are at, but it was quite a time right then. I was 10 years old then, so I had a little idea what was going on. So
I think about what I was into for music when I was 10 years old, and I think I had a pretty good awareness of music.
Yeah, well, my brother helped me out a lot because he started playing guitar when he was 8 years old. Tony, talked to Tony Pacheco down on Spring Street in New Bedford. But the thing was, he got hooked on the guitar. Tony was able to bring down Chet Atkins to the studio on Spring Street in New Bedford. And my father brought him down. And from that point on, that was it for him with the guitar. So
they brought him there to perform?
Yeah, no, it was a rehearsal. It was just, he got him down there to show everybody. I don't know how many people were there. Probably not many, 15 to 20 maybe at that time. But that was he was born in the 40s, probably 1955 or 56.
Wow, that's amazing.
Quite a while back.
But yeah, but he was a pretty big star at that time, right?
Yes, he was, yeah. He was a big, just a great guitar player, but he was, I guess, geared towards country maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But, those are some old memories I have. And my brother's band went to New York City right to Greenwich Village, right out of high school, all of them, the Chico brothers and him and the drummer and Rick Marshall. They ended up playing at the Bitter End.
Wow.
And which was right on that where everything was happening back then.
Yeah, in those days, absolutely.
66 or 67, I think. And they came back up after 2 years. They had some managerial problems. They ended up, 1966, right before they went down there, they were playing at the Brighton Street Bridge in Boston, and they were backed up the Doors. And I'm looking at it right, the poster right now, August 10th and 11th, two shows, Ragamuffins, Doors, tickets, $350, $3 advanced, $350 at the door. How's that?
That's amazing.
And he said that at that time, Light My Fire was just starting to catch number one, number two at that time. So that was a pretty good investment at that time, I guess.
And that was the band, the Ragamuffins?
The Ragamuffins, yeah. Look them up. They're online. That kind of country, folk rocky type stuff. A few psychedelic songs. They have a couple online, I believe.
Well, that sounds awesome. I'll definitely check it out.
I can give you some names. Parade of Uncertainty is very good. 4 Days of Rain was the first one they had. But they had about maybe four records, and then they had to come back. They had finances weren't good because of the manager type thing. So
that's,
but they got cut short a little bit.
Unfortunately, that happened to a lot of groups where, you trust management, and then management, is untrustworthy.
Yeah, so they did. So they ended up coming back quicker than they wanted to, I guess.
Well, still great memories to have, and thank you for sharing them with us.
No question. Thanks, Tim.
All right, have a good day. And the musical scene from this area is so rich with stories like that, with people that look at even today. I play Roger Schwinnard's band, All Sinners, the owner of Purchase Street Records. Like, their band is in Los Angeles this weekend at the Whiskey, opening up for Quiet Riot and Faster Pussycat. And then they're going to be here they're going to be performing in April in New Bedford, opening for LA Guns, right? I believe they're the opener for that show. But LA Guns are coming to New Bedford. I mean, there's so many great musicians in this area that it's not a surprise that they get these opportunities. So, and again, if anybody has seen, speaking of the Greenwich Village scene in the 60s, if anybody has seen A Complete Unknown, the new movie about Bob Dylan, I'd be interested in hearing your take on it. But also keep in mind that all the reviews are warning us that it's not a literal history of what happened. It's interpretive. And if anybody knows anything about Bob Dylan, you know Bob Dylan never really gives you the true story. He always lies about what's happened in the past, but it's not a lie. It's that impish side of him. He's not going to give you the history. He's going to give you the version of the history that he wants to be the history. It's all part of the art. It's all part of who Bob Dylan is, because Bob Dylan isn't even real. Bob Dylan is the persona that he created. So it's fascinating that that's the approach they took in the film, and I can't wait to see that, but I'm going back to see Nosferatu a second time first. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
I'll
tell you an interesting... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll tell you an interesting story. When I was a kid, my brother was 4 years old and we grew up in New Bedford, and he went to a club in Newport, and it was called Bambi's at the time. And he came home, and I said, who was playing tonight? And this is like one of those things you don't know what you don't know. And he said, some English group, Rolling Stones, he said. And they were just kind of, I just guess, doing like a trial run through the area. But I couldn't believe it, because, of course, it meant nothing to me at the time. But once they became big, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you saw these guys at Bambi's in Newport. It's amazing, you know?
Yeah, and so what year would that have been? Do you remember?
Oh, God. So this has got to be, I would say, early 60s.
Yeah, because
early 60s.
I think, if I remember right, I think the Stones came to the U.S. before the Beatles.
They did.
Yeah,
they
in 63, did. I believe.
Yeah, and one other time, I'll do this real quick. We all were in Boston, a bunch of guys. We were in our teens. We said, let's go to Boston Garden, because they had tickets for on sale for Led Zeppelin. And we got to the garden, and there was thousands of people. So we were in the entryway trying to get to the ticket thing, and all of a sudden the gates opened, and we had no tickets for whatever was going on that night. We just got caught up, like, in the crowd. It was so crazy. They couldn't even take tickets. Once the gates opened, you went. And we went in, of course, because we got caught up in the crowd, and guess who was on stage, and I think it was their first appearance in Boston, was the Jackson 5.
Wow.
Michael was like 9 years old.
How was that show?
It was amazing. I mean, we never thought we were going to go see the Jackson 5. It just happened. Oh, it was incredible. I mean, the choreography, it was like amazing for, you know, they were a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was kind of fun. We got caught up, so we went in and we enjoyed the show. We didn't pay for it and we left.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go. Anyway.
Any show is good if it's free, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
All right. I got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. 508-996-0500.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
It's a chilly start to the morning, to say the least, waking up to temperatures in the teens and 20s. Not too many clouds around, and that's really how your day is going to stay, the cloud part, not the 20s part. We're going to see temperatures actually climb up into the low 40s, right on the money in terms of the average for this time of year. Beautiful sunshine this afternoon. Hopefully you get to enjoy some time outdoors on this last Friday of 2024. Overnight tonight, clouds increase. They continue to do so into the morning, accompanied by some showers, even some small pockets of freezing rain tomorrow morning, not out of the question, so make sure you're being super vigilant if you're getting on the roads. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I don't care if Monday's blue, Tuesday's gray, and Wednesday too. Thursday, I don't care about you. It's Friday.
And welcome back in. Let's take a phone call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. My name's Rick Marshall, and I got a call from a friend saying that you were talking about the 60s music, Greenwich Village, et cetera.
Yeah.
And my name was mentioned. I'm the guy who was with the Ragamuffins, the drummer for the Ragamuffins.
Oh, great to talk to you. Yeah, it was one of the callers that was mentioning that his brother was in the group.
Oh, okay. Who was that? Patrico?
No, it was someone else.
Oh, no, Hickman. Rick Hickman.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, his brother. Yeah, I know him well. Anyway, yeah, I was with the group, and we played, we were opening act for the Doors the very weekend, a two-night gig, when Light My Fire became number one in the country. Boy, did we party that weekend.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway... we're not on the air, are we? No.
No, we are. We are on the air. I was going to say, yeah, I'm just about to the end of the show. But do you, do you have email?
Yeah, sure.
Can you send me an email, tim@wbsm.com? I'd love to have you come in sometime and we can talk about it on the air.
Yeah, that might be a cool idea. I thought about that a couple of times over the years.
Yeah.
You're Tim, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, Tim, give me your email address.
Tim, T-I-M.
Yep.
@wbsm.com.
Oh, easy enough. All right. Sounds good.
All right.
I'll give you my connection information and to be continued.
Look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
All right. And now you as well. Let's take another quick call here before I got to take my final break of the show. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. That's awesome because I was just going to say you were getting neat phone calls near the end there and that maybe you could pick it back up on Monday. And sure enough, the gentleman just called in. So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was getting Whitney. I got to go babysit today, so I won't be able to call him Brian, but I will tomorrow. So I just wanted to wish everybody a steady rule of a weekend. And I hope you have a good one too, Tim.
Well, thank you so much. I hope you do as well.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. And let's take our final break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. Let me make sure I get that lined up. All right, we'll be right back.
Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor. Feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time. Picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, you know who's still standing? Chris McCarthy. And he'll be with you coming up in just a few moments for South Coast Now. I'll be back with you on Monday.